Please go ahead. The recordings have begun.
Thank you. So this is the Registration Abuse Policy Working Group meeting Monday, May 17th, 2010. This is the chair, Greg Aaron. Welcome, everybody, and thanks, Mikey and Marika, for leading last week's meeting. We have a number of items we're going to try to clean up today. Let's begin by taking the roll call, and then I'll walk through the agenda.
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Greg Aaron, Faisal Shah, Mike O'Connor, James Bladel, Fred Feldman, Barry Cobb, Rod Rasmussen, Wendy Seltzer, Phil Corwin. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. No apologies, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you very much. I think almost everyone is on Adobe Connect. If you're not, try to log in. And if you're not and you need to raise your hand, you'll just have to pipe up. Okay. What we're going to do today is we have a few loose items we need to wrap up. Our goal will be to wrap those up, if at all possible, today. We are moving towards a final draft of the final report. What I would like to do this week is get to a point where we have all of the recommendations finalized so we can do our last round of polling. The items we need to work on are the shakedown, or whatever we're going to call it, issue, reverse hijacking, cyber squatting, and let's see what else. I think the rest of it is going to be edits to the text, which is in the report, which does need some more work. One of the things we do need to wrap up is the conclusion section and adding in some additional material here and there. But I think we're very close. What I would like to do this week is get to the point where all the recommendations are in a final format, and we can poll. By the end of the week, I would also love it if we can get to a final version of the paper itself. That would give us one more meeting on the 24th to talk about any final loose ends, the 24th to talk about results of polling if possible, and then we need to publish the paper basically by the end of May, which is the appropriate number of business days that it needs to be in before Brussels meeting. So we're looking at targeting May 28th as our deadline to publish the final report. The next Monday is May 31st. That's a public holiday in the U.S., and I'm assuming a lot of our members will be off that day. So, up on the screen, we have material that Barry's been working on and other members have provided some comments on. So, Barry, would you like to walk us through?
Thanks, Greg. This is Barry. Basically, I just took I worked from draft one. James had sent out some comments or a commented version from draft one. And so I tried to address those comments as best as possible, and then I changed the names from, what do we call it, slamming to alternative TLD shakedown, or shakedown for short. So I didn't really do any major content changes from the previous draft. I don't think we need to go through each sentence, or I need to read this out for you guys. But basically just cleaned up the issue and definition section, cleaned up a little bit of the background section. Mostly, I think those were most of the comments that James had. So I tried to kind of elevate from some of the specifics that I had in there earlier. And then lastly, just updated the recommendation with our latest proposed text. And then I had also, after I'd sent out draft number two, James had made a suggestion about changing the word sponsor to, what was the language? I can't remember off the top of my head, but to reduce it from sponsor as opposed to coordinate research with the community. So I updated that as well. And it sounds like Marika has already included this into the final report, also with the inclusion of the latest change to the recommendation language, and I'm happy with that as well as other members that had responded on the list. That's all I have for this one so far.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. I think one of the questions might be, what do we call this practice? I want to be careful of the term alternative TLD because that might catch the eye of some readers and they might think it's some sort of a alternate route or new TLD-related thing. So my question is this the best title or can we do better? It's a solicitation, right? It's a deceptive create solicitation or something like that.
Wendy Seltzer with the suggestion, maybe just cross TLD.
Cross TLD. And how is it a shakedown? What is a shakedown? Does that have any connotations that are not relevant?
Greg, James.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so shakedown, I'll take the credit or the blame for throwing that word out there, and it was just because the similarity that I think that or the parallels that one could draw from, you know, some of the mafia cliches, right, where you would threaten something bad might happen to your string in another TLD if you didn't register it, and then, of course, the person making the, you know, giving the Good Samaritan warning was also the person that was going to carry out the threat if you didn't register it, and I think that that was where the idea of shakedown came from. I mean, it's more of a cross-TLD deceptive solicitation. It's probably the longest and most descriptive term we could apply here.
Okay.
Now, one of the problems that I was thinking about over the weekend after reading Barry's draft, and I think the draft is good, and I'm not suggesting any language changes, was the idea that there's a fine line here between a sincere and genuine Good Samaritan and a deceptive scumball here that's actually going to try and, get some additional money out of someone. So if I were to start a new business, for example, and I noticed that Barry had a string in .org, and I were intending to register the .com, this might be, knowing that this would be out there, would be maybe have a chilling effect on whether or not I would actually reach out to him and ask him if it was okay if he had intentions to use the .com or if it was okay for me to do so. I mean, it's kind of a weird scenario, and I think that, you know, it in some respects, you know, it presumes to know what's going on in the person's mind a little bit.
Okay. All right, so in the meantime, people have been posting up some alternate titles in the chat box. We have Deceptive TLD Solicitation, Deceptive Substitute TLD Solicitation, Deceptive Registration Solicitation. Anybody have any preferences What amongst those works or doesn't work?
Well, the common theme is deceptive.
And it's very shorter the better. So I would vote for deceptive TLD solicitation. Of course, I guess that means that the TLD is deceptive in itself. But.
Well, we don't want to imply that necessarily. How about deceptive? Well, and Fred suggested deceptive second level name sales. Although that might not work in all TLDs because some TLDs offer thirds. How about deceptive registration solicitation?
Too broad, Mikey.
A little too broad?
Yeah, that covers an awful lot of ground.
This is Rod. I think that we definitely have to get the idea that it's a cross TLD thing or something to get the concept in that you already have a name and they're trying to get you to register stuff in alternate TLDs. Otherwise, I get plenty of solicitations to register a domain name. It's random.
Right. Okay. So how about deceptive cross TLD registration solicitation?
Works for me, Mikey.
Okay. So what are our best options here? Let's poll something. I'm going to post this, which is deceptive cross TLD registration solicitation. If you can live with that, put a check box or a check mark. If you have something that you think is better, post that in the chat box.
Wendy, works for me. I'm not in the chat room.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Hey, Greg, this is James. I'm away from my keyboard right now, but I was going to suggest if we could condense deceptive solicitation into, scam, just say cross-TLD scam, I think that that's a little more portable, even though it's a little more vague.
All right. James suggested cross TLD scam. Registration, I'm suggesting, is an important word because we're talking about domain create as opposed to something else, transfers, et cetera. And by the way, Martin Sutton and Rod Rasmussen are on the call. Okay, so we had some support for deceptive cross TLD registration solicitation. Or Mikey's now suggesting cross TLD registration scam. Okay. Tell you what, if you can live with Mikey's recommendation, add a checkbox. Again, that's cross TLD registration scam. Okay, and I see Barry, Fred, myself, James, Martin, Mikey, Phil, and Bob. Let's go with that. That's I'm not hearing any dissensions. So let's go with that suggestion, cross-TLD registration scam.
And Greg, this is Barry. Marika, will you just update the master document with those, or would you like me to send out another version so you can just cut and paste the whole section?
I can update the report. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So Marika will take care of that and post up a new version. Now, this my understanding is this material is now in the report body. Is that correct?
That's correct. The only thing that needs to be updated is the part on GNSO sponsors further research. So I think Mikey made a suggestion that was agreed on just before. So I'll change that as well in the updated version.
Yes, and Mikey, where did we end up on that?
Mikey was taking a small mental vacation. Sorry about that. What's the question?
Oh, we were working on that sponsorship language on the list.
Oh, I think Martin came in with something, and I mostly just said thumbs up. I was the one who suggested the sponsor and agreed that it was confusing. And James came up with something, and then Martin did. Let me see if
this
I can.
This is Barry. It was coordinate research with the community as opposed to sponsor.
Okay. So it would read as follows. The RAPWG recommends the GNSO monitor for cross-TLD registration scam in the GTLD space and
coordinate research with
coordinate research in the community. To determine the nature and extent of the problem, the working group believes this issue warrants review, but notes there is not enough data at this time to warrant an issues report or PDP. Okay. So any last words on this? It sounds like this piece is ready to go. Okay. If not, thanks Barry for writing the material up. And we are ready to move to the next thing. We were going to discuss reverse hijacking, and that was on the follow-up list from last week.
Correct. This is Barry, Greg.
Yeah.
I did create a first draft, and I sent that out to Faisal and Phil. Faisal came back with some edits, and I'm still waiting for Phil to provide his feedback, and then I'll send it out to the group. I'll try to get with Phil after the call today and get that out this afternoon or first thing in the morning.
Okay. That'd be great if you guys can wrap it up today. And we'll look forward to that on the list. Okay. Next on the agenda then is cyber squatting and gripe site language. Let's start with Martin's markups regarding gripe sites. The idea, I think, was that we needed to work gripe sites into the cyber squatting section somehow because it dovetails with that issue and UDRP issues. So, Martin, would you like to walk us through the material?
Yeah, can you hear me all right? I'm on a mobile. Yeah?
Sounds
yeah.
Okay.
Good. Taking a look at that, I mean, the main thing I've done is basically leave the gripe sites in just with a slight tweak on the recommendation just so it cross-refers neatly with the UDRP section and inserted an item for just going down the list that has just been posted. That took me ages. And just inserted a comment with regards to the gripe site analysis that had been done undertaken in the subsequent section, rather than try and transfer, I suppose, gripe sites underneath the cyber squat section altogether. So I'd be keen to know, does that work for everyone, or do we need to consider a rewrite where the gripe site gets tucked directly under cyber squatting?
This is Greg. And my suggestion is it would seem very important to list it in the list of UDRP issues that we have in the report. Although I think
one line to that.
Right. I was talking about the text of the cyber squatting section of the paper. Our current recommendation says the following. It suggests an examination of, quote, how the UDRP has addressed the problem of cyber squatting to date and any insufficiencies / inequalities associated with the process. And I think both reverse hijacking and gripe sites actually fit within that current language. They're problems or insufficiencies or inequalities and do deal with cyber squatting. So I think the language covers it. At this point, I don't know if I would be comfortable with changing and adding it into the recommendation itself, because one, I think it's pretty much already covered, and I don't know if gripe sites deserves, I mean, it's more deserving than any of the other issues that are also listed in the paper itself. So
Greg, you're saying that without having to put an extra line in the recommendation, just refer to the gripe sites within the list of issues?
Yeah, yes.
That's fine. I thought I took away, or maybe that's how I interpreted it, the idea that there should be something within the recommendation. But I'm happy to work along that line. What does anybody else think?
Greg, this is Barry, if I may.
Go ahead, Barry.
The way I had interpreted what we had do last week was that within the section of cyber squatting that there would be a bulleted line item that draws out spells out specifically the inconsistencies with the UDRP decisions. And I agree with you, Greg, we shouldn't need to modify the cyber squatting recommendation that incorporates that. My only suggestion after that is that we certainly keep the the gripe site section intact, and that the way the report currently states it has our two recommendations, one view A and view B, that those be deleted, and that the recommendation for the gripe site section is that, you know, something to the tune that the RAP working group, blah, 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 they decided that there are inconsistencies within the UDRP, the UDRP, and then that any changes in that regard would fall under the cyber squatting recommendation and be addressed there, and then just basically draw it to a close. Because I think we have pretty much unanimous consensus with the fact that we all agree that there should be some adjustments in how those decisions are made, and then that's it, and stop.
Right. So I think we're all conceptually in the same place. Now, Martin did a red line to the gripe site recommendation, and I think what he's doing there is he's saying, let's deal with it as part of the cyber squatting thing. His red line says he made a slight change to the existing recommendation. The existing recommendation says, The majority of REPWG members expressed that gripe site and offensive domain names that use trademarks. Okay, actually that's dealing with two things. That's dealing with gripe sites and offensive names. So this is actually about
correct
two things.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying we just need to slim it down and make it simple that we're just, you know, basically refer back to the cyber squatting recommendation, and that's where it's going to be addressed and be done.
Okay. All right, so it could read as follows. The majority of RAP, I'm working again off of Martin's red line, but it says the majority of RAPWG members express the gripe sites should be addressed in the context of cyber squatting and the UDRP for purposes of establishing consistent registration abuse policies in this area. Let me post something up into the chat box so you can see it better. Okay, so I put it up in the chat box. Is that what we're aiming for?
This is Mikey. It works for me.
Would you mind reading it out?
Okay. It reads as follows. Again, this is the recommendation that would appear in the gripe site section of the paper. Initially it said there was rough consensus to make no recommendation. And by the way, I guess that would be stricken, because what we're really doing now is we're saying this needs to be taken care of in the UDRP and cyber squatting issue. The recommendation would then read as follows. The majority, or maybe all, RAPWG members express the gripe sites should be addressed in the context of cyber squatting and the UDRP for purposes of establishing consistent registration abuse policies in this area, and that creating special procedures for special classes of domains, such as offensive domain names, may present problems, unquote.
So Wendy, with the suggestion that we insert before cyber squatting, with the review of cyber squatting and the UDRP, because as it reads right now, it suggests could be read to suggest that gripe sites are cyber squatting, and I think it sounds as though the reason we might have consensus is to clarify whether they are or are not.
That's true. What we've had discussions about in the past is some gripe sites are, completely, they're okay. They're not cyber squatting. What we're trying to do is we're looking for perhaps a little more consistency in the decisions and handling, right? So,
Greg, it's Martin here. Barry's posted a good option there instead, which is a bit more clear and targeted at the gripe sites. Do you want me to read it out?
Please.
The RAP working group members understand that gripe sites should be addressed in the context of cyber squatting and the UDRP for the purpose of establishing consistent decisions on gripe sites. That's more targeted and focused.
So, Wendy, I'd still like to see should be addressed in the context of review of cyber squatting and UDRP.
This is Mikey. I agree with that.
This is Greg. I think that's useful because, our recommendations need to tell the council what we're recommending and be very clear about that. I think this could be a useful clarification. Okay. So let me put up a slightly revised version in the chat. Okay, I posted that up, and Wendy reads as follows. The RAPWG members understand that gripe sites should be addressed in the review of cyber squatting and the UDRP for the purpose of establishing consistent decisions on gripe sites. Oh, consistent, yes. So we're going to point back to the review of the UDRP. Does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay. So anyone else have additional comments on the language we have up there? Okay. I'd like to take a straw poll. Oh, I'm sorry, Faisal, I see your hand up.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to clarify because I'm trying to go back now to look at the recommendations here. So basically, this recommendation, this particular statement, and only the statement, which is the RAPWG members understand the gripe site, blah, 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 actually substitutes for make no recommendation on recommendation number one. But there's still the alternate view, right? And that stays in place.
Let's go find that material in the paper.
Yeah, I'm just confused.
This is Barry. I can read off the alternative view if you'd like.
Let's also find what page of the report that's on.
That's page 37, and it states the following. The UDRP should be revisited to determine what substantive policy changes, if any, would be necessary to address any inconsistencies relating to decisions on gripe names and to provide a fast-track substantive policy and procedural mechanisms in the event of the registration of deceptive domain names that mislead adults or children to objectionable sites.
Right. So that recommendation, the previous recommendations tied together two issues. One was gripe sites. The other was offensive names. I think what we're doing now is one of the things we're doing is we're teasing those apart. What we're saying is, gripe sites should be taken care of as part of the UDRP discussion. What maybe we're left with is deceptive domain names that mislead adults or children, or another way of calling those is objectionable domain names. So, do we still need a second recommendation about a fast-track mechanism to deal with objectionable sites? I see Phil's hand and then Faisal.
Oh, no. I'll come and take it now.
Yeah, on this is Phil speaking. On these, I certainly support teasing them apart. In my mind, they're two very different things. You know, a gripe site, you know, xcorporationsucks.com, you know, is a free speech matter. There's no deception. It's just, using the name of a business, usually in the context of a website that criticizes it, which would certainly, at least in the U.S., falls under acceptable free speech. On the other one, on offensive domain names, it's separate from the gripe sites, but also the word deceptive, I guess I have two problems. One, what's objectionable can be pretty subjective, and two, sometimes there's no deception involved. You know, there's a famous case of LegoPorn.com. There was nothing deceptive about it. It was pornographic models created out of Legos, but the problem was that children went to the site. So it was, offensive to the parents of the children who went to that site and saw things they didn't want them to see that probably were not appropriate for minors, but there was no deception involved. So I think that one needs considerably more work because you're getting at something where there may be no deception, and what's objectionable depends on who's viewing it. And it's more than just the adult-child dichotomy.
Okay. I was wondering if Fred wanted to comment. You had posted a note in the chat.
Yeah, I mean, bringing up the fact that sometimes they're offensive and offensive terms and domain names doesn't actually affect. I mean, the recommendation is for us to review this, right, and to look at it, including that issue in it. Actually, I don't think is a problem. We're just pointing out that actually you should be sensitive to the fact that offensive terms are often used in this context, and you do very often see an offensive term combined with a trademark name or with a gripe site. It's part of the issue. They're intertwined, and that's where a lot of them actually appear. And that was my only remark.
Okay. Any other comments? Mikey?
This is Mikey. I've been frantically reading back up into the report, and I think that this section addresses both. I mean, this section 5.3 is about gripe sites, deceptive and or offensive domain names. We've got one recommendation about gripe sites that we seem to be pretty much in agreement on, but that recommendation really doesn't talk about deceptive or offensive domain names. And it seems like the second one does. So we might want to hammer on that one a bit to get it closer to our liking. But I think it's appropriate for this part of the report to talk about that kind of site because that's what this section of the report's about.
Yeah, I think, this is Greg, it's clear that we still need something to deal with the offensive names. I guess my first question is, as far as the gripe sites issue, it seems to me that we have a pretty high level of consensus, if not a unanimous consensus, that we want that gripes issue to be taken care of in the EDRP section. Is that fair to say? We have a very good level of consensus. Okay. So we need to craft a recommendation on offensive names, which is separate. Now, the one question is, what would that say? Would anyone like to propose some language?
I can do that. It's Faisal.
Good. You want to take a couple of minutes to work on it?
Yeah.
And we can circle back. Okay. We'll revisit that in a little bit then. And Faisal, just let us know when you have something. In the meantime, let's move on to the other cyber squatting bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
Just real quickly, I mean, if we're going to bold this into UDRP, doesn't that assume that the offensive name slash Greg site contains the trademark in the domain name, correct?
Well, I think we're tackling it as a separate issue. Offensive names, we haven't really figured out whether it's going to be incorporated into the UDRP discussion or recommendation or not.
Okay.
Second, I recall that there was some opinion in the group that offensive names could contain trademark names, but also might not.
So they could be generically offensive and still...
Right. I remember some discussion about that. Like there was a discussion of the seven dirty words.
Yeah.
And how those were an issue. So we'll have to discuss those issues.
Okay. And then while we're just kind of putting a push pin in this idea and setting it aside, I wanted to also just make a note that we should also discuss whether. Using something in a manner that's deemed offensive to the holder of the mark is sufficient to demonstrate bad faith. And that's a longer discussion. But if we're folding into the UDRP, we should probably make mention of that.
Okay. And we'll have to discuss those issues here in a little bit. Okay. Now, one of the other cyber squatting things we were talking about was the definition of cyber squatting. And Marika, if you can scroll the material, the central issue is this. And again, this was an issue that was brought up during the public comments at Nairobi. We had a definition of cyber squatting. Well, actually, we kind of had two definitions of cyber squatting. We had a definition that said it was the registration of domains that infringed upon trademarks, basically, for the purpose of profiting, typically through pay-per-click advertising. Now, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the language right in front of me at the moment. The point was made that profit through pay-per-click or whatever means is not the only motivation or qualification of bad faith. We had also consensus in the group that the measures in the UDRP were a good definition of cyber squatting, and those mentioned several displays of bad faith. And profit is one of them, but also just trying to keep the name away from somebody is another one, causing confusion, et cetera. So what we're trying to do is just reconcile the two. One of the issues that came up was the whole does the domain name have to be used thing. What I'd like to mention is right now the use issue is one of the things we've listed in the cyber squatting section of the paper. And what we've said is the language of the UDRP currently requires bad faith and use. However, there have been a lot of decisions over the years where use was ignored, basically. There was no use of the domain name, but the domain was still the subject of the case, and there were decisions on that. So what we're pointing to is that a review of the UDRP should probably deal with that issue and examine it. What we have to do is simply come up with a definition of cyber squatting which is internally consistent. So up on the screen, here's the issue slash definition. Let me read it. And what we're going to try to do today is come up with something which is consistent, which gets us past that comment. And I think it's going to be very possible, but let me read the definition as it sits at the moment. Cyber squatting is the deliberate and bad faith registration or use of a name that is a registered brand or mark of an unrelated entity for the purpose of profiting, typically, though not exclusively, through pay-per-click advertisements. Cyber squatting is recognized as registration abuse in the ICANN community, and the UDRP was originally created to address this abuse. There was consensus in the RAPWG that provisions 4A and 4B of the UDRP are a sound definition of cyber squatting. So that's what we have in the draft at the moment. What I'd like to do is first open up the floor, and I'd like to hear if anyone has any tweaks to this language or sees any problems in this new language we have here.
Wendy, here.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to urge strongly that we keep the registration and use of the UDRP. And by use of the domain name, it could be use as a pawn in demand letters without any site being up at the name. But what I think the UDRP purposely stays clear of is that the mere registration of the domain name with nothing further can't be presumed to be cyber squatting. And I think that's what the and in the UDRP's definition does.
Okay. Thank you. By the way, maybe we should draw some context around what we're doing here. I forgot to mention. The definition that we state here, you know, it's talking about the what we discussed and the current state of things and what we think it is. What we're recommending the council do is start an issues report and a PDP on cyber squatting and how to look at the UDRP. That group is going to look at these issues all over again. What we're doing here is not setting policy. And of course, the definition is really important, but what we're not arguing about right now is policy. Whatever we state here as the definition is not going to change what people do. A subsequent group and subsequent council decisions might. But we're not making policy here through a definition. Is that fair to say? Fred?
Yeah, I agree with that absolutely, Greg. And I agree with, you know, part of what Wendy said is that it is absolutely registration, you know, can't be presumed as an abuse and cyber squatting. But I think there are many instances where registration or abuse applies. So I guess I agree a little bit with Wendy, and I agree, you know, wholeheartedly with what you've just stated.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, thanks, Fred. Mikey, next.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mikey. I just posted a little tweak to the language sort of to try and get us through this. And what I say is cyber squatting is currently defined as the deliberate and bad faith registration and use, and then the rest of the sentence carries on. Because I think part of what we're working on here, just to amplify your policy comment, is that all we're trying to do with this paragraph is describe the situation as it exists today and recommending that a policy process be undertaken to figure out whether that's still the right definition. So I just threw that up as a possible tweak to the paragraph to make it consistent.
Okay, and then Fred has posted a couple of notes in the chat box saying that many ccTLDs use OR in the definition of cyber squatting, and using the term and/or might be a good substitution. I mean, it's what Fred's talking about is broader practice. Various TLDs outside of ICANN have varying versions of the dispute resolution mechanisms. So Fred's talking about broader industry practice. Now, what Mikey has suggested is interesting to me in that it's setting some context, which is it's currently defined. Which leaves open, of course, the possibility that it needs examination and potentially some change. What do you think of that, Fred?
I mean, that's accurate. It within the current definition of the UDRP, but it's not accurate in all jurisdictions.
So again, you're referring to the CCTLDs.
Yeah, and also, I mean, U.S. law.
Yeah, since we're commissioned by the GNSO for GTLD policy.
But U.S. law defines it differently.
It's reasonable to look at UDRP current definition.
Yeah, I remember we had in a subgroup, we had a long discussion about the U.S. definition. And I remember several folks were in that group. There was not agreement in the group that we could use that definition. And one of the reasons was UDRP binds all GTLD registrants. That's a contractual thing, and varying laws across various jurisdictions are broader or narrower, but what we're really focusing on right now is the UDRP itself, as used in GTLDs, isn't it? Mikey?
I just posted another version up to the chat to refine it just a little bit more. Cyber squatting is currently defined in GTLDs as the deliberate and bad faith registration and use.
Okay. Thoughts on that?
I think what we should be trying to get at with this at 5.1.1, which is issue definition, is aiming for a factual background and of what the issue is. And I think, and I can see merit to everything that's been said so far. I think we need to expand this to basically say, look, it's currently defined as requiring the conjunctive finding of both bad faith registration and use under the UDRP for GTLDs, but the fact is that some CCTLDs require one or the other, not both. Some national laws require just one or the other, and in actual practice, certain UDRP decisions have found violations without actual use. So I think we should aim for a factual description of the state of play on what goes on with cyber squatting, with in terms of defining it, and then launch into a discussion of the various issues, and which all leads to some recommendation for taking all these disparate views into account, and kind of urging ICANN to rationalize it and get things back to some kind of consensus view. My problem with this opening paragraph right now is that it says two things that don't jibe with each other. One is that it opens by saying it's deliberate bad faith registration or use, and then it ends by saying there's a consensus that provisions 4A and B of the UDRP are sound definition. And, of course, that sound definition requires registration and use. So you just got that conflict within the paragraph right now. I think it would be better to just expand it and have a factual description of what goes on, what the definition is now, what the actual practice is in UDRP arbitration, and pointing out that it's different in some CTLDs and it's different in some national laws. And that brings you to the point of saying, making a good case for trying to bring back some uniformity between those different takes on it.
Okay, thank you. By the way, Fred, maybe one thing that we haven't done in the paper so far is say, this is what it is in the GTLDs, but there are other practices. In the CCTLDs, for example, they have dispute resolution variations of the UDRP, which vary, as you pointed out. What perhaps what we could do is we need to mention that in the body of the paper to draw out that issue, and that links with the use issue, which is already mentioned. And then state the current state of things, which is it's currently defined this way. And then in the body say, there may be issues with the current definition, or it needs to be examined. How about that? Okay, and Fred posted a note saying adding the background would be helpful. Now, what specific reforms to UDRP we might be recommending? We're not recommending any specific reforms to the UDRP. We're recommending that the GNSO have a PDP to figure out what those should be. And we're listing a whole bunch of ideas and issues for them to think about. But it's not we're not making specific recommendations for UDRP change. Okay. So let me post up a revised version of the cyber squatting issues section. Just if you can give me just a second. Be patient. Like, give me a second. I'm going to work something up for you. Okay. I put some material in the chat box, and it reads as follows. What's new is a little bit at the end that I'll call out. But and it, this is mostly otherwise from what we have in the paper at the moment. It says as follows. Cyber squatting is currently defined, as per Mikey's language, currently defined in GTLDs as the deliberate and bad faith registration and use of a name that is a registered brand or mark of an unrelated entity. It needs to say typically or often for the purpose of profiting. That's my omission. Typically, though not exclusively, through pay-per-click advertisements. Cyber squatting is recognized as registration abuse in the ICANN community, and the UDRP was originally created to address this abuse. There was consensus in the RAPWG that provisions 4A and 4B of the UDRP are a sound definition of cyber squatting. And here's an addition. Over the years, a number of issues have been raised regarding the UDRP policy and practices. These bring up issues of how cyber squatting is defined and addressed. And the purpose of that last sentence is to say that we have an issue. We have a current definition that's currently used in ICANN. We have issues have been raised about whether that definition issues have been raised about the definition and the practices. So that's what I'm aiming for. So does this work for you? All comments welcome. Mikey?
I think this is Mikey. I think this is a good start, but I actually am kind of drawn to the language that Fred and Phil threw out, Fred in the chat and Phil on the call, that basically would create another sentence after that first sentence that we've worked on that would highlight all the different rules of the road in different places, CCTLDs, countries, et cetera. Because I think that's a good way to frame this, is to say, look, there are a lot of different definitions of cyber squatting. It really depends on where you are and where you sit. I think you're getting at it in this. I just think it's a little bit too subtle for a person who hasn't been through all these phone calls with us, and that we might want to stick those in.
Oh, well, there would be additional material in addition to this. And what I'm suggesting is it belongs in the background section where it can be expanded upon. I didn't want to try to jam it into the shorter issues section, that's all.
This is Mikey again. I'm kind of taken with the idea of at least acknowledging it in paragraph 5.1.1, because that's where, you know, that's where we're defining the issue and the definition. So, you know, I will defer to Phil and Fred on this, but if I had my druthers, I would want to see another sentence in here. That's it for me.
And what would that sentence say, Mikey?
I would probably have to go back to the MP3 and the chat and sort of meld together Fred's post to the chat plus Phil's. Phil sort of rattled off a list of examples that I thought was pretty good that I think jived pretty well with what Fred was talking about. So, you know, it would touch on CCTLDs, inconsistencies between U.S. and other country law, the inconsistent use of, you know, sometimes it's and, sometimes it's or, sometimes it's one or the other, et cetera, and kind of flesh all that out. I don't think it has to be a great big long soliloquy, but I do think it's helpful to set the context, and this paragraph seems like the right place to do that. But in order to actually draft it, I'd have to go back and listen to the MP3.
Yeah, Phil here. I think we could probably do it with one more sentence somewhere at the end there, which just says that something along the lines of cyber squatting, however, has been defined more broadly in certain CCTLDs. In national laws and an actual UDRP arbitration practice. I mean, okay. That kind of covers the differences I can think of.
Okay. Let's do this then, since time's drawing down. Let me send up the language we have so far to the list. And we need Phil and Mikey and Fred to do two things, I think. One is maybe work on that additional sentence that would go into the definition section. The second thing is we need maybe more of a paragraph that would also go down in the background section, and that would talk about CCTLD practice and those kinds of things we've been discussing. Can you guys deliver... If I post that up today, can you guys deliver edits tomorrow?
Should work for me.
This is Mikey. I'm banging away on a sentence here. Now, let me just post it again because I posted a sentence fragment. But what if we... what if we inserted a sentence, I just posted it to the chat, that says, however, cyber squatting has been defined differently in different CCTLDs, national law, and arbitration practices. That's a pretty frantic effort, so I'm open to changes, but it would be nice to just nail this down, and I agree with Phil that, it doesn't have to be a big sentence, it just needs to acknowledge situation.
What I'll do, Mikey, is I'll take the bit that you just posted and add that to the text that I have here in my notepad. Let me post that up to the list, and then people can edit that. And then, in addition, we still need another paragraph to go in the body of the background section to mention CCTLD practice and the and/or and other things we've been discussing. I think we have to post it up to the list either way. So let me do that with your bit. Okay, thank you.
This is Mikey. Take note of Phil's last little refinement to the chat as well. He's a lot better guy to be writing this kind of stuff than me.
Okay, got it. All right. We'll take this offline, but our goal is to get this comments on this language and an additional paragraph written in the next day. So thanks in advance for working on that material. And I think we're much closer now to where we need to be. This has been a good collaborative effort, and appreciate everybody's attempts to iron out the material. So good effort. Thank you for that. Okay. The next item is the conclusion section, which has been blank, obviously, for most of the time. Marika has, in her new draft, posted up the beginnings of that conclusion section. I personally have not had a chance to read it yet, but it's there. We just need to bolster that. I mean, obviously, in the conclusion, the next step is for the council to read the report and take up the recommendations. There still needs to be a little material about the the issue that's come up about malicious use, which is the extent of policymaking. That needs to be mentioned there, and we'll take care of that.
I still have that action item due, and I hope to have that sent out tomorrow. I'm just trying to clean up a little bit of research, but my action item from last week's call was to put together text that would offer up the recommendation to for the GNSO to carry that forward.
Okay. We really need that material, Barry. Now, when you say recommendation, are you making another recommendation or just – or what exactly are you doing?
Well, as I understand it, from our previous calls, we're all in agreement that we're not going to solve it here and that we all further agree that it needs to be kicked up to the council for them to deliberate and perhaps even above them. So my action item from last week's call was to create a paragraph or two, most likely just one paragraph, that basically states the recommendation or formulates a recommendation like we have for the other abuses, that says, you know, the RAPWG was unable to reach consensus about this issue of use abuse versus registration abuse, and that the GNSO do X, and I'm still working on that text.
So my understanding was slightly different. We weren't writing a formal recommendation that we were going to measure consensus on. We were saying this is an issue that of policymaking, we're bringing it to the council's attention, but I did not understand that we were making a formal recommendation on this. That would be appropriate to do in the other section of the paper. Marika? I see your hand raised.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to point out, indeed, that you know what I've done now is just a very short paragraph summarizing that, you know, the recommendations capture the discussions of the working group, the public comment periods that were reviewed, and you know, these are the recommendations that the group is putting forward to the council, and basically left the rest still blank as we're still working on the different recommendations. But looking at, you know, other reports that have come out recently, this is normally a chapter that just lists the different recommendations that the working group would like the GNSO to consider or adopt, basically. So it should probably include, indeed, all the recommendations we take consensus on and any other items that, you know, the council is expected to pay attention to or maybe work further on, like, you know, the issue that Barry is working on, whether that's for formal consensus-taking recommendation or whether it's just an issue that the group would like the GNSO council to focus on.
Okay. My understanding was from the discussions that this is an FYI kind of a thing up to the council. We're saying this is an area where the contours of policy this group had differences of opinions about what the contours of policy making are. And this is also kind of an issue of ICANN mission, et cetera, et cetera. But we weren't making a recommendation that they take a next step on this necessarily. If we were recommending a next step, it would have been a recommendation in the malicious use section, wouldn't it? Okay. All right. Anyway, we'll work that out as we see some conclusions text. All right. If we can get through the recommendations for the TLD scam and so forth in the next couple of days, we will be ready to do another round of the final round of polling. Now, we also need to have a deadline for our red lines for the body of the paper. And I'm going to set that deadline at this Friday, which is the 21st, because the paper needs to be in on the 28th. And we have to discuss any last red lines in our meeting next week on the 24th. So that's the deadline for red lines, 21st. If you have any additions or changes, those need to be posted up to the list this week. Please do not post them over the weekend, because that won't give people a chance to read them before the meeting on the 24th. Okay, there was one last issue, which is we want to do polling, because we've changed language in some of the recommendations and so forth. And Wendy had asked if she could weigh in on those as part of the polling. There were some objections to that. The decision was I was going to go talk to Chuck Gomes, the chair of the GNSO, to talk about precedents and these procedural issues. And I did so. And here's what Chuck wanted to emphasize. The first thing is that it is important for all the constituencies to have a voice in the process, working groups and so forth, is to allow constituencies to have a voice and weigh in. It is certainly preferable that that happen earlier in the process rather than later, but it should be done. The caveat being that new members do need to be up to speed, and I don't think there's an issue there. Wendy got up to speed early. I gave her a briefing just to tell her about previous discussions in the group, and of course Wendy is a very experienced member of the community as a GNSO council member and as a former board member. So the issue hasn't been about restarting discussions from scratch. And there hasn't been a disruption of the process because we have had a new member. The other thing that Chuck said is he reminds us that there's been a process for GNSO improvements, and those recommendations have been drafted and are out there. And the idea is, in general, when a working group is doing its work, it's trying to reach consensus as much as is possible. And the ideal is when a group is trying to come to recommendations that everyone can buy into and support. Now, I think most cases, our group has been very successful in doing so. We have a lot of recommendations that are unanimous, and certainly everybody's been doing a lot of very good faith work, and we've gotten there in a lot of cases. Now, in a few recommendations, we've had a lot of discussion, and there are differences of opinion. And I think it's probably fair to say that at this point, we've had good discussions of all the background. We've looked at the various angles, and people have just ended up in different places. That happens sometimes. But Chuck said we kind of want to avoid an emphasis on voting. Again, you try to reach consensus whenever possible. There may be these cases where people are in different spots. Participation, I think it does count. He says he certainly sympathizes with those people who have been putting in the work over the time. An undue emphasis on voting would be to haul in people who have not been participating since forever and that kind of thing. And certainly the council will need to examine all the recommendations carefully. They want to hear what we have to say, and then they're going to look at everything very carefully. And, of course, we are going to be recording all the thoughts and how people feel. So what we're going to be doing is the following. We will have another round of polling with our finalized recommendations. Wendy will be invited to participate in that polling. Members who polled the last time will also be invited to poll again. We will not be polling members who did not participate in the last round. In other words, we're not going to be pulling in extra people who are on the list to do voting. That's the way we're going to have participation count.
So that's what we're going to be doing. I think in most cases, you know, we've worked very hard to have recommendations that a lot of people can buy into. And then the council is going to take a look at our paper, and they're going to have their discussions, and they'll decide what to do next. So Marika and I are going to, once we have these recommendations finalized in the next couple of days, then Marika and I are going to work on setting up the new polling, and you'll get a note about that. And I'm hoping we can do that this week, and then we can discuss on the 24th, which might be our last meeting before Brussels, how the results have fallen out. Okay. Any final thoughts?
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, so hearing none, we have a few action items. We'll put those up to the list, and we're going to push towards a deadline of the 21st for red lines, and we're going to try to do our polling this week. It looks like...
Hey, Greg, this is Faisal.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to get off the Adobe, but I posted up the recommendation on the offensive names, which has not been discussed now. So I'm just trying to figure out what you wanted to do with
that. Okay. Oh, let's put that up to the mailing list then.
Okay.
I encourage everybody to take a look at Faisal's work and post any comments or edits you have, and we'll see what we can do on the mailing list in the next day or two on that. Thanks for creating that, and we'll figure out how to work that in. Okay, if not, we are at 30 minutes past the hour. If all goes well, next week will be our final meeting before Brussels. I encourage you to, if there's anything left to discuss, anything you've forgotten, et cetera, do two things. Bring it up to the list, and any red lines you have to the report, post those up to the list as well. Okay. Thank you, everybody. That was a very constructive meeting. Thanks for your support and your good thoughts.
Thanks, Greg. Great job.
Thank you, Mikey. Everyone have a good week.
You too, Greg.
Thank you. You too.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.